Good morning, everyone. I don't ever think that I'd be up here speaking, but here I am. So last week we finished the book of Jeremiah, and for those of you who don't know yet, next week we'll be starting the book of Ezekiel, and that will take us through the end of the year. And so this week I get the chance to preach on something other than one of those two books, and some of you may be excited about that, but I'll ask that you hold your excitement until you hear what I am going to talk about, if you haven't already noticed. Rather than introduce new thoughts and ideas or a different book, I'm going to go back to the minor prophets. So when we were going through the prophets, I know that at least through discussion in our small group, it felt like the sermons and the small group studies both went very quickly, but also felt very long and very repetitive. I think that they felt quick because we went through each book in a short amount of time, because some of them are very short books. Some of them only took a single week. But the books cohesively as a group contained many of the same themes and ideas. They took place at the same time and had similar focuses. And because of that, they also seemed to take a while to get through. I think because of that lengthy whirlwind we went through with the prophets, I think we owe it to go back and look at them as a whole. So that's what I'm hoping to lead us through today. I'm going to look at several themes that ran through those books, and I'm going to walk us through what those mean to us and how we can respond to them. These are the three themes we're going to talk about. Number one, we're going to talk about God's faithfulness and how we see it through the prophets. Number two, we're going to talk about how we are to submit to God and how God wants us to obey him in his way, not our own, and that we are to seek his will for our hearts, for our worship, and for our lives. And number three, we're going to talk about God's call for his people to be holy and set apart as a light to the nations. So again, holiness, submission to God, and God's call to be holy. We're going to look at where these themes show up and how the people respond to them. Then we're going to talk about how we should respond and how also being able to look back on those stories as well as the redemption of Jesus should affect our actions and our thoughts. By the way, I'm not going to specifically call out every single verse for today, but if you're interested, you can come see me and I can give you some extra references than the ones I do share. So number one, starting with God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is seen repeatedly through the prophets. We see it every single time there's a mention of a remnant or a hope for a future redemption. Through all of his people's faithlessness and all of their breaking of the covenant they made to him, God is still faithful to the covenant he made to Abraham to make his people a numerous nation and the promise that he made to Adam and Eve to send a redeemer. In the prophets, his people have chosen to follow other gods. They have chosen to find security in the ways of other nations and to walk away from God's laws. He has every right to disengage them in the covenant to Abraham because they have broken it. But we see that that is not his nature. He's a God of faithfulness, and because that is his character, even while he disciplines his people, he promises them restoration at the end of it all. In Joel 2, in the midst of visions of destruction, we see God promising restoration and promising to pour out his spirit on his people. In the book of Amos, in chapter 4, we see God calling out the sins of the people and talking about the looming destruction. And then, in chapter 5, we see him yet again calling to his people to seek him and to live. God's faithfulness to his people and to us doesn't stop because of our actions. It is in the very nature of who he is. Our faithlessness does not stop his faithfulness. God's faithfulness is not a response to our faithfulness. It is his response because of his character. Looking past the prophets to the New Testament, we can see God's continued faithfulness in the coming of Jesus. Jesus' coming provided us a way to come back to God because of his faithfulness to us. The promises that were made in the prophets about the future humble king from David's line were completed in Jesus. God's faithfulness is shown in how he fulfills his promises through Jesus. So this brings me to the second theme I want to talk about today. God is faithful to us, and he loves us, but God cannot accept worship from us if it is given our way. God is faithful, and he calls us also to be faithful. He wants us to seek to know him and to submit to him in our worship of him. This includes our hearts being made clean and our lives being lived for him in his way, not our own. These are acts of worship, having a clean heart and living our lives in God's way. Hosea 6 says of God, "I desire faithful love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God instead of entirely burnt offerings." In the prophets, the people were actually occasionally capable of following the letter of the law and doing certain ceremonies to make a show of serving God, but that wasn't what God wanted. God wanted them to understand the intent of the law. Faithful love from the people and seeking after God to know him were more important to him than their ritual sacrifices. Throughout the prophets, we hear the words of the Lord. In Joel 2, we hear God say, "Return to me with your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with sorrow. Tear your hearts, not your clothing." He wants them to mourn for their actions, but not for show. He wants them to mourn because they have come to know him and their hearts have been changed. In Amos 2, we hear God say, "Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." When you think of worship, I hope in your mind, I hope that what you're considering is not necessarily the time we spend in this place singing together. The time we spend singing together is a very small, very limited part of our lives. It does have its place, and it's not a bad thing. I believe it can actually be a gift to us to sing together. I think it can be a picture of the unity we are to have as a body, but it's not the heart of our worship. A few songs should never be the heart of our worship. A few songs cannot be the entire offering we give to him. The heart of our worship should be lives that are lived pursuing knowledge of our Creator and Savior. These lives should reveal him to the world around us. They should be lives that seek justice and are lived in righteousness. In Micah 6, it says, he being the Lord, he has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, embrace faithfulness, and walk humbly with our God. Our worship should be lives submitted to him. We can also see this theme of submission in its fullest in the coming of Jesus. Jesus submitted his life because he was faithful. He submitted everything by becoming a man, but it was not for him. It was for us. He submitted to becoming a human on this earth for our salvation. Coming to earth as human and submitting his life provided a way for us to return to the Father. This was because of God's faithfulness, but also because of Jesus' submission. These two points, faithfulness and submission that I've already talked about, they are what we are called to, but they are also part of the grace that God has first shown us. This leads me to my third point, the third theme we'll talk about today, that God calls us to be a people who are holy and who are set apart for him. Our purpose in this world is to point people to Jesus all of the time. That is what the holiness is for. That's its purpose. Its purpose is to point people to Jesus. Its purpose is not to earn anything for ourselves. That's not why we're called to be holy. And being holy is not something we're called to do just on Sunday mornings either, even if we manage to do that. We need to be holy, and we need to look different than the world all of the time, even in the little daily stuff in our lives. If we look like the world in our daily lives, we are not pointing people to Jesus. We're basically just pointing at each other. In the prophets, we hear repeated judgments on the people of God for looking like the nations around them, for seeking the same things they seek, and for going after their gods and trying to seek security in them. The book of Amos begins with the judgment of the nations that surround Israel, slowly closing into judgment on Judah and then Israel. All the nations are judged for their crimes. For those outside of God's people, we hear a handful of verses about their crimes and their judgment. But when judgment comes down to God's people, they are judged also for their crimes, but their crimes are so much more. When Amos gets to Israel, he goes on for many more verses to describe their actions and their punishment. I think verse 2 of chapter 3 is important to hear. Amos, speaking on behalf of the Lord, says, "You only have I loved so deeply of all the families on earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your wrongdoings." God is claiming these people as his own, the ones he's been faithful to despite their faithlessness. He is claiming them as family and telling them that this punishment, this discipline is coming because he loves them so deeply. He is holding them to a higher standard. He wants their lives to reflect his holiness. He wants them to be different, to be more than the world around them. We read in the beginning of Zechariah 13 that the impurity of David's house is being cleansed, and later in that chapter that the remnant will be purified like silver in a fire. This refining fire is also mentioned in Malachi 3 and several other times throughout Scripture. God is serious about his people being pure and holy and set apart. Serious to the point that he wants to destroy all the unholy things we can cling to. I think some of these things can even look innocent to us. We can cling to our security and what we've built, and this can even be praised in our culture. We can cling to our money as a god, and we can be told by the world that we are wise for doing that. But that is not what God calls us to do. God calls us to be set apart, to be different from the world, and to be seeking him. Again, we come to Jesus. He is the fulfillment and completion of this theme too. Jesus came down as a person, and he was holy. He showed us how to be holy, and he also calls us to be set apart. He gave the people continued instruction on the law of Moses, but also gave revelation about the purpose of those laws, that they are there to set the people apart and to teach him how to love God and each other. Then he called them to be a light to the world and sent them out. And he sends us out to do the same. Being a light to the world is what was always expected and hoped from Israel, that they would come to be holy and to be a light to the nations. And now it's our call. He sends his people out to show the world who he is, and that's the reason his people are set apart for his glory. So these three themes in the prophet, God's faithfulness, our submission to God in his way, and our call to be set apart as holy. How do we respond to these individually and as a community? It's not enough just to nod and say they sound good and not have an active response to them. Hearing this many books of scripture with so many repeated themes should move us to some type of action. So let's start again with God's faithfulness. How do we respond to the fact that God is a faithful God, that it's part of his character? Well, I think that the first thing we should do is to speak this regularly. We need to be seeking to know God and seeking to understand who he is through scripture. We need to read about it and think about it and then speak about his faithfulness to his people and his faithfulness through Jesus. From there, we can move on to our story and the faithfulness he's shown us in our lives. The times we've seen him moving in our lives and showing us his faithfulness are important to seek and to understand as valuable stories to cling to in our understanding of who he is. These are also things to speak out in our community. Our lives are not solitary, and God does not only work individually. He is with us as a body of believers. Coming together to know the faithfulness he's shown us in community is as important to remember as the things he has done for us individually. When we spend time thinking about and talking about God's faithfulness in Scripture, our lives, and our community, it builds our understanding of who he is, and it builds our faith and our trust in him, and our trust that he will continue his faithfulness. When we have struggles, it gives us something to cling to. Or when we think we have done the work of taking care of ourselves, talking in community can help us see where our work was actually God's work, or even where our work may have been meaningless. It can help us realize that our security has to be in God. Talking about it in community also builds unity and commonality as our stories come together and we see God's work together. This is a good thing, because as the body of Christ, we are supposed to be together. In fact, we are better together. Curtis's message from a few weeks ago talked about the importance of having differences and diversity in our community, and it's tied to that. We aren't fully the body, and we aren't fully capable if we aren't working together and we aren't seeking God together. This also fits in with the second point of submitting to God in our hearts, our lives, and our worship. Coming together in unity can provide a great basis to practicing submission as a community, which can bring us understanding in how to submit to what God is calling you. Submission is not easy, and it doesn't always come naturally. We need a place to practice if we're going to live lives fully submitted to God. Our community is a place for that practice and a place for that learning. Coming together in unity is also a start to building honesty and accountability in community. Practicing submission to God in our hearts, our lives, and our worship is very personal. No one else can make the decision for you to submit to God if you are unwilling. But if you are in community with others who are also seeking these things, there's strength and understanding to gain in doing it together. This requires first honesty and true self-reflection within yourself about your motives and your goals, and it may potentially require a shift in your own mindset. But then it requires seeking out others who are willing to come alongside of you in order to become truth tellers together and to hold each other accountable. If this is something you hope to have and hope to grow in, this is a community where it can happen, specifically this community, this room. It's literally one of the purposes of this community. In case you've never noticed, written on the bottom of the front of our worship folder is the mission of our church. It's sending disciple-making communities into the world. This can't happen unless we have disciple-making communities to send. Being disciples is seeking to understand who God is and submit all aspects of our lives to Him in an active way. So again, if this is something that you want to do, then seek to do it with those around you. If you're not sure how to connect, you can ask. You can ask anyone in leadership to help you. You can ask a board member, or Curtis, or ministry team leader, or you can just be bold and ask anyone else in this room to join you in seeking the Savior together and to help hold you accountable and to be a truth teller in your life. Also, one thing, if you do that, you need to be prepared to listen and act on truth even when it's hard. Truth telling involves speaking the truth, and that's important, and it can be a challenge. But I think an even harder challenge is hearing the truth with open ears and responding to it. That takes submission to the truth in Scripture, and it takes submission to your community, as long as you know that they are also seeking to be like Jesus. Moving to my last point, the point of being holy and set apart. How do we respond to this call? What does it look like? I think that some of it looks exactly like what I just described. It looks like a community that supports each other and tells the truth even when it's hard. It looks like a community that seeks to know God's face and submit to His desires for our lives instead of our own. If these are the things we're seeking and this is how we live in community, then our lives will be full of the good things that we hear the people of God called to repeatedly in the prophets. Our lives will be full of justice and righteousness, and we will respond to those around us with compassion and with kindness. And we will be people who are faithful and merciful, and we will begin to look like Jesus.